Virtually every morning, I am attacked by clawed thoughts. Has my wife's cancer come back? Will my son have a wreck on his commute? Blip, 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 my tooth hurts. I wonder if I will need that one pulled too. Losing teeth makes me feel so old. It is a never-ending blizzard of little and big gut-churning worries that seem to make it impossible to be present. In a burning spring day, the trees are exploding, but the only thing I can glimpse is a world that snarls like a pit bull on a short leash. Of course, none of this will prevent me from exchanging niceties with neighbors and even people toward whom I don't feel so nicely. If the proverbial slate fell off the roof today and killed me, no one besides my wife would know that I was a walking, haunted house, aflame with anxiety. There are times when I have laughingly reminded myself that all the things I imagine happening could not possibly happen. I entertain some of my past fears and try to remind myself that many of the devils I was sure were bearing down on me were just shadows. Then again, I know people who have come down with cancer and heart disease at virtually the same time, and I've had my share of golems leap out of the closet on sunny days. For me, there is always something to be anxious about, and if there weren't, I would probably look for, or most likely invent, some pretext for anxiety. The Romanian philosopher and aphorist Emil M. Cioran, 1911 to 1995, a veritable Nietzsche on steroids, wrote, "Anxiety is not provoked. It tries to find a justification for itself, and in order to do so, seizes upon anything, the vilest pretexts, to which it clings once it has invented them. Anxiety provokes itself, engenders itself. It is infinite creation." Chiron is correct. Anxiety is a movable feast, one that has been understood differently at different times. In the 50s and 60s, during the Cold War years, many Americans would sit at their office desks, roll their pencils in their hands, wondering at one moment whether or not it was worth building a bomb shelter, and in the next, about building a vacation home. A period of robust economic boom, that era was the proverbial best of times, and most anxious of times, redolent with fears about the bomb and of bombing out in a time of intense upward mobility. Maybe it was the advances of science and/or the Holocaust, but for a large flock of people, faith in God and sacred order seemed to be nodding off or put to bed. We were on our own and could no longer trust that our lives had a fixed meaning as pieces in a divine galactic puzzle. It was no coincidence that during this era, nerve balms like Miltown and later Valium started hitting the market. Nor was it a coincidence that existentialism became popular in America during this post-World War II period, christened by the poet W. H. Auden, 1907 to 1973, the Age of Anxiety. Back then, there was an intellectual tradition of pondering the meaning of anxiety. For a small sampler, in 1950, the existential psychoanalyst Rollo May published The Meaning of Anxiety. A string of related works followed, including his 1969 bestseller, Love and Will. In 1952, Paul Tillich published The Courage to Be, a Kierkegaardian meditation on angst. Then there was Ernest Becker's Pulitzer Prize-winning The Denial of Death, and, among scads of other works, a raft of meditations on anxiety from Alan Watts, including The Wisdom of Insecurity. Then Big Pharma and the insurance giants rolled in. Steeped in Marx and Nietzsche, the French philosopher Michel Foucault, 1926 to 1984, taught us the Hegelian lesson that our understanding of ourselves is profoundly influenced by the institutions in which our lives are embedded, in this case, the healthcare industry. Such institutions generate our vocabulary for thinking about our emotional lives. When Christianity held sway, people understood their inner being in terms of sin, temptation, and forgiveness. With what the prescient Philip Reeve, 1922 to 2006, termed the triumph of the therapeutic, psychoanalysis and related forms of psychotherapy generated another set of terms with which to address ourselves. Don't be so anal, or you're in denial.